Okay, so I've started the recording. A memo to Christina. I sure hope you're having a great time in Marina Del Rey, but we got it going. This is the Ops DSSA call. Monday, let's see, what is the date? The 28th of November. On the call at this point, we have Jim Galvin, George Feiger, Mark Koster, and me, Mikey O'Connor. Is there anybody else on the call that's joined? Okay, I guess that's it. And for staff, we have nobody because they're all basking in the sun in Marina Del Rey. I hope you're all having a great time. And today, I had on the agenda an update on the board committee from Patrick, but Patrick's not with us, so we'll skip that. And I think the main topic for today is to just talk about the direction that we're going with methodology. Let me get the one that I like up on the screen here. This will take a second to pop up. Okay. Over the last two or three calls, we've been sort of honing in on the NIST 800-30 series of stuff for an approach. And none of us have been on the call at the same time, so I just have been spending a little bit of time on the last two or three calls checking with people to see if there are any troubles or objections with using this. And one of the things that I did between the big DSSA call last Thursday, where I reviewed this with the folks that were on that call, and now, is that I've read in detail the front part of this very long document that describes the current state of NIST 800-30, and found this sort of summary picture to be very helpful, because I think we as the ops group have an interesting question in front of us. If you look at this little flow chart through the methodology, there's work at the left that sort of is preliminary work before going into the threat identification stuff that, to a certain extent, either we have done or the people who chartered us have done, but there are some gaps in it. And then as you move into threat sources, one of the things that I was intrigued by was the possibility of sort of going through a list of threats one last time and sort of tidying it up. And then we see the rest of that flow. And so there are several questions on my mind. First question is this still okay? Is this still the right approach with you, the co-chairs? And then the other question is this something that we need to go back to our respective ACs and SOs and at a minimum inform them of, and or do we even need to go back and get their approval to do this? So those are sort of the two questions on my mind, and I will stop and let other folks talk at this point. We're such a small group, just jump in, don't raise hands or anything.
So I have a question, I guess, about that. So this is Jim. Could you say a little more about why you think we need to ask this question back of the supporting organizations, if you will?
Yeah.
I mean, I apologize, I wasn't there on Thursday, so I gather you had some discussion of this on Thursday.
No, actually, but this is an idea that that popped into my head as I was doing the status report. What's emerging as I get more and more familiar with this methodology is that it's the work that we do, you know, presume that we're going to use this methodology for a minute. We may not, but let's presume we do. Then the choice of that methodology, and especially the developing of all of these worksheets that we're going to do, is actually going to leave a pretty substantial deliverable behind, no matter what we decide to put in the worksheets as our choices. It's going to leave a methodology and a sort of repeatable work plan behind, and it's also going to leave these worksheets that we build as sort of a foundation for ongoing work. Now, that's a pretty big deliverable that's not really in our charter. The case can be made that we need to produce that deliverable in order to get to the things that are in our charter, but it is a pretty big deliverable in and of itself. And my inclination is to follow that path that says, look, we needed a methodology in order to do our work, so we picked one, we used it, and we produced all this stuff. And that's all within the scope of what you asked us to do. But I wanted to check back with the rest of you and see if you agreed with that, because it is going to be a pretty big deliverable, especially given the SSRRT's interest in ICANN picking a risk management approach. And so I decided to just check back rather than just plunging ahead. So that's really the thinking I had, Jim. It's not something that came up on the call, per se.
Okay. So I'll make one follow-up comment, and then I'm interested in, you know, what others think. I think what strikes me is the fact that you keep using the word deliverable, you know, that as if this is something that we're producing. And I think my reaction to it is it's really just part of our process. The fact that it might be a big chunk of something and could be a deliverable is interesting, and, you know, maybe we should, you know, do it in that sense and produce it in that sense. But that wasn't my immediate reaction. Nonetheless, you know, I don't have a problem, you know, telling everybody what we're doing, obviously, and then seeing what they say about it. But I guess I'm neutral on whether we have to ask permission or just ask forgiveness kind of thing. But I'm interested in what others think.
Others? Olivier, are you on the call now, too?
Yeah, hi. I've just arrived. Sorry.
Good.
I missed most of the discussion before, so I do apologize. But I was waiting for a dialogue, and I received none. So.
Oh, well, that's because you are listening to Christina today. Christina's in MDR, and I don't know how to do dial-outs, nor do I know your number.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really glad that you didn't wait for me, because I'm running the bridge. And I'm pretty proud of myself. I got the recording going, but... dial-outs are, pretty complicated for Mikey, so sorry about that.
So I'll refrain from commenting right away, because all I've managed to catch was Jim's last few words there, but I'll listen in for a little more, and then I'll be able to comment.
Okay, great. Anybody else?
Okay, Mikey, let's make a comment from my side. This is Jörg. I think, first of all, we do not set any prejudices in for ICANN concerning any risk assessment method. So I'll be fine with just grabbing one of those. And secondly, I think it is really helpful for me, because if you could recall that I personally had some difficulties to fill out the tally, because I wasn't sure how to differentiate between threats and vulnerabilities, and how I would like to or have to combine those two with likelihood and so forth. So I really appreciate that we are up to selecting a certain method, and anyone that is prefabricated for us almost certainly will do for me, because they don't seem to be so much different at all. So just for clarification purposes, let's just choose one, and one is better than the other, or both, or all of them are as good as the other one is. And with respect to, do we have to reconsult with our charterers? I don't think so, because our task was to analyze the current state of the DNS. And if we would need a certain methodology to make this process of analysis more good, well, ordinarily performed, so, well, why not? I don't feel that we do have to reconsult with somebody because we are choosing a certain methodology that might help us in the process of doing so. So I'll be fine with that.
Cool. Anybody else want to chime in?
So this is, I'm kind of looking at this going, okay, one of the things that, looking back, one of the things that we're supposed to do is basically become a group that actually, once the threat is identified, you figure out whether or not particular registrars and registries are vulnerable, correct?
Well, that's one of the interesting puzzlers in this, is the level of details that we go to in this project. Let me just shut your eyes for a minute, because I'm going to scroll around a little, because there's a another diagram that I want to show you. And I apologize for the craziness on your screen. This is the one I found interesting. It turns out that the way this methodology is built, it presumes that you sort of start at a very high level, at this organization-wide level, and you drill down in subsequent projects or subsequent iterations of this to lower and lower levels.
Yeah.
And so one approach to this would be to say, back to our charterers, dear charterers, here's our report. We did it at this very high level this time through, and we've built a mechanism where if you would like us or our sequel, our subsequent groups to go deeper, we can. But not go down to the actual registrar-registry level this time through, but rather say, because, you know, at the organization level, the presumption in this methodology is that you've got big executorial type people making these choices, and they're not necessarily going to know the super granular detail of which divisions or which business units, or in our case, which registries and registrars have specific issues. They are going to be saying, in general, we think we're more vulnerable in these areas and less vulnerable in these.
Okay.
But those conclusions ought to be verified with data in subsequent reports. That's a whole separate discussion that we probably need to have. But I thought that might help with the question that you're posing, Mark.
Okay. I guess my assumption is that this would be sort of more reactive than proactive. And by that I mean we're going to the point where we're saying, okay, here are the things that are in scope and out of scope for this particular group to work on. And the things that are reactive are things that come in the door that are things that are identified vulnerabilities, and where are those in the system? And by George, we should get those fixed pronto since we identified them within the IGAN sort of realm.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And I'm looking at this, and this is kind of like a, I'm sorry, more of a sort of a paper tiger exercise from an executive point of view. Because really, if you look at this flow chart, it's all fine and dandy, but really, you have no idea what the actual threat source is. But once you have that, what is the process in which you actually start mitigating it? And this doesn't, in a way it kind of does it, but in a way it doesn't to me. And what, well, I guess what I would see is more of a process of identifying the threat, being able to expose the characteristics of the threat to the affected community so that they can fix their systems before the threat becomes widespread. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that the problem that I've got is that I don't know this methodology real well yet because I've only read this 85-page document once. But I think that what we could do that would be a tremendous value to the community, if we went through this kind of a process, is in the first pass we could say these, you know, let's pick one of the favorites, the DDoS attacks. Which everybody seems to agree is a big deal. I think in the first pass of this, we could say, out of all the kinds of threats that face registrars, registries, and the rest of the Internet, DDoS attacks on key infrastructure elements of the DNS are clearly a big deal. And so we're going to go a little bit deeper in that one in this first pass. Then we're going to go into earthquakes, just to pick another, a non-adversary. This is, by the way, the title of this one is Adversary-Based Threats and Attacks, and then there's non-adversarial threats and vulnerabilities, like disasters and, bad weather and stuff like that. I think what we could do is pick off some of the ones that we know are pretty serious and pretty imminent and that we need to be reactive to and go a little deeper into that one or those, whatever they are, and then do this higher level across the whole spectrum so that we can give people a sense of both the width and the depth of the issues that we've uncovered without spending the rest of our lives doing the project and sort of do the best of both worlds on that, if you want. I mean, we could dramatically narrow this and essentially start at the threat source likelihood threat event boxes and skip those preliminary things, but I think as we dig into this, partly our charters have done some of that work, and partly I think it's useful for us to take a look at some of the vulnerabilities and controls that are already out there to paint this picture in a more complete way. But again, this is exactly the reason to have this conversation. I'd be interested in your reaction to that, Mark.
I guess I'm just much more simple-minded. I identify threat, find exposure levels, mitigate threat, and be done. And that's all this group would do.
I think that
it kind of says that, but it has a lot more steps in it. But that's okay.
No, I think that what we're into is a conversation about Let me paint a different picture. Let's say that I'm the CIO of a great big organization, and you're a frontline security cert guy. Getting the calls. My router's been blown out of the water by a DDoS attack. What the heck do I do? Well, let's put these filters in the firewall, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a difference in perspective. And I don't think that it's simple-minded. I think it's a different point of view.
Okay.
This is an organizational / managerial approach to putting essentially the first iteration of a process that then repeats forever. And so there's all this stuff about controls in there, because the way that you mitigate the DDoS attacks forever is to have thought through the vulnerabilities in the architecture and put controls in place to mitigate those. And then take a look at the threat sources and see whether they've figured out a way around it yet. And if they have, then, you know, so that's why this thing tends to iterate a lot. So I don't think it's simple-minded, and we could certainly take a look at, I mean, our charter says what you said, Mark. Identify threats, figure out mitigations that are in place, fix the hole, period, and be done. That's part of the reason for this conversation, is because I don't want to make this choice on my own. My tendency is to do stuff at this level first.
Okay. I'm willing to do the exercise. I might learn something from it.
Well, I think another advantage of doing this exercise at a really high level is that we could do it pretty fast. We might even be able to get it done by Costa Rica. We could certainly get a lot of this done by Costa Rica, I think, which might be good, rather than digging ourselves in really deep into a super long process. I think if we took a year to do this, I would be inclined to back away from it. But I think we could get a lot of this done by Costa Rica. Olivia, go ahead. Don't be shy, Olivia. Just jump in. This is a pretty small group today.
Thank you, Mikey, Olivier, for the transcript. I've just heard what Mark had to say. I think I would agree with him in some way that we do need to move forward with the identification. What do we do about, you know, sort of threat countermeasure part? On the other hand, I do like the diagrams that you're showing on the screen at the moment. I think that the threat source, the threat event, the adverse impact, this can probably be merged somehow. And I just wonder if we could work with a version, a simplified version of this.
There's a huge kind of process embedded in this methodology to figure out how to actually use it, which I am trying to puzzle through on my own right now. They leave a lot of room for people to put these pieces together in a way that works for them. And so I think it is possible to merge these. Basically what they're saying is the threat source again, this is an adversary. So let's say we have an adversary who is trying to exploit several vulnerabilities in order to essentially lock up the DNS worldwide. And so one of the things you have to do is sort of glue together these things. You know, which threat sources are going to go after which vulnerabilities to create which kinds of events, and then what would the impact of those be? And I think that one of the mistakes that people often make, which is part of the reason why Mark has the reaction that he does, is that they make all the permutations and combinations of these things, and you wind up with this threat tree, this giant list, hundreds or even thousands of entries long, and then force people to evaluate each one of those. And, you know, people's eyes glaze over and they fall over with a thump and they give up. And so I think the tailoring of this is going to be very important, so that we come up with something that covers all the bases but doesn't get so complicated that it wears us all out. And I'm clueless as to how we're going to do that right now, because, you know, as I say, this is a pretty rich document that I'm not completely familiar with yet. It took me sort of two mornings of 2 hour sessions each time to get through the first part of this thing and sort of digest what it's saying. And so there's some thinking to do, that's for sure. Jorg, go ahead. Oh, are you muted, Jorg, maybe? I didn't do it. I still
can you hear me now?
Oh, there we go. Now.
Okay, so this is Jorg for the transcript. For sure, the methodology is generic, like ITIL and all this kind of stuff is. So I think that what Mark basically is looking for is something like identify threats and what he calls a more simple approach to problem solving is very well accommodated, or can be accommodated within this generic model. So it's just that we probably, as we are not so familiar with the methodology right now, are having a kind of a hard time to figure out what we should do if we do want to stick to this methodology. But I think that we really can perform the task that we have given at our hand to analyze what the current state of the DNS really is. And by using a method like this, even though it seems to be quite unfamiliar and unfamiliar to me as well, I think what we have and what we end up is really not only a common process and a process that is understood, but a vocabulary that is common between all of us. And I think this is really a value to build on. So I'm strongly in favor of using a method, which one ever. And I doubt that that it's too complicated. We can work with it. We just have to figure out how this is going to be applied to our problem.
I'm gonna hurt your eyes again for just a minute, and take you down into the details for just a second. Oops, let me just shrink this a bit. Back in the back of this thing are huge lists. Let's see if I can make it big enough that we can read it. So all of those titles up in the front. In the back, there are tables filled with examples of what they're talking about. And a lot of the stuff that we've already identified in those giant mind maps of threats and vulnerabilities show up here. And so I think that what we can do is use this like a multiple choice test. I don't think we're going to have to create a lot of stuff. I think we're going to be presenting ourselves with a whole bunch of tick marks. Let me just go a little deeper into this because, you know, for example, there's these, you know, they've given us little scales that say, for any given vulnerability, what's its severity? And then my thought is that we could build a little poll out of this, and we would use this, you know, in the poll that I created, which, by the way, I sort of want to postpone, but we'll get back to that. I didn't use scales like this. I used low, medium, high. But one of the nice things about using a methodology like this is that, you know, they give us sort of all this stuff in advance. So, you know, in that methodology summary up on the top left corner, there was a predisposing conditions box. And this is what they're talking about. So they give us a lot of hints. And it seems to me that we could blast through this pretty quickly and at least come back to the community and say, well, from these lists, these are the ones that we picked that we think are really important to the DNS. And then we use that as one of our assumptions going into our analysis. And then as we get deeper into the analysis, you know, there's pervasiveness of those conditions. That could be the scale that we use, blah, blah, blah. You know, my thought is that we're going to have a whole series of these little polls about these things, and that we're essentially just going to ask the group, well, what do you think? You're a good representative group of the community and the DNS in general. You know, what's your assessment of the likelihood of this thing happening? What's your assessment of the impacts of these things happening? And just a whole series of, I mean, we'll have to change it, harm to the nation isn't appropriate because this is a federal government thing, but, you know, we can tailor this pretty easily. And I think if we glue this little series of polls together, we get a pretty good picture of either our assumptions or our essentially collective expert opinion about the situation that's out there for the DNS right now. And I don't think it's going to be real hard to build those. He said, you know, this may be the famous last words statement of the year, but you know, there's so much detail in the back of this methodology that I'm feeling pretty confident that I can build a bunch where we, you know, I can build the first cut, but, you know, the collective group and especially the co-chairs can tune this thing up so that it's pretty straightforward for people to go through and weigh in. And I agree with you, Jorg. One of the things that this gives us is a very rich common vocabulary about, you know, what we're doing and the ways that we're describing it that I think is a useful thing for future generations of security assessment folks in the ICANN community. So I'd like to give it a try anyway. There's one thing that's come up a couple of times on this call that I just wanted to mention, and that is I did do a fair amount of research into other options for methodologies, and I actually have a reason why I like this one the best. It's the only one that's out in the public domain that's this detailed. Most of the other ones, like the ISO 27000 series or similar ones, are either behind paywalls. You have to buy the documents, or they're they're pretty low quality. They don't have a whole lot of detail. And in some cases, they just miss the mark altogether. There's one called forgotten the name of it. It'll come back to me. But anyway, it's very asset. You know, it's very much about protecting infrastructure assets. And so the very first step in their methodology is to identify the key assets and work out from there. Octave, there we go. And this one felt like it was a lot more appropriate for the kind of question that we've been asked. So if people back me into a corner, I can produce a rationale for why we got to this one. And, you know, I would like to pursue it a bit, but again, this is the whole point of this call, is to sort of check with the rest of you and see where you're at. Any thoughts spring out from that rant and tour of incredible detailed appendices? Just a whimper would be helpful.
Yep. It's Olivier. Yeah, Mikey, I think, you know, I'm certainly in agreement with you. So, you know, all fine by me. And I like the idea of basing our work on something that's already been done before. I feel less like we're reinventing the wheel at the moment, so.
Yeah, I am too. You know, I think what we can do is let me run with this for a while, and by a while I mean a few more days. I need to continue reading this and continuing to understand it, and I would ask all of you to at least give it a quick scan. I think that we as the leadership group need to have a fair degree of understanding of this, and my concern is that if I'm the only one, I'm likely to make mistakes, and I need people to kind of back me up and make sure that I'm not. Jörg, go ahead.
Yeah, just want to confirm the same thing you just said, Mikey, and that is I would strongly advise everybody to read through the document so that we do get more secure that this might be the best or a possible solution we do want to pick. And I can say that I went all the way through the document, but I'm just doing it, and I think I'm about to complete the work until the end of this week, and after that I think that I am certainly more confident whether or not this is really useful. I think from what I've seen so far it is, and if all of us co-chairs would get a little bit more into detail with the methodology, we might end up with a clear impression whether or not we're going to use this or any kind of those methods. So just the advice, before you say no, just make sure that you go into detail with the method. If we haven't done that already, and I'm the only one who is half blind.
I don't think you're alone. Mark said that he needs to read it too in the chat. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. I need to read it as well. I must admit I've actually read it sideways, which sometimes means a page has lasted no more than 10 seconds on my screen. But there is one appendix which I thought was helpful in being able to take a step back, because so far what we've done And I might have missed a call when you did the other thing, but what we've done is to look at the threats and just look at one thing. Taking a step back, looking at Appendix K gives you an overall description of what the process is. So it gives you a summary of tasks. And effectively, that was the table that got me to kind of understand, okay, we might not need to pick each one of these tasks, and we might actually be able to not use some of these tasks. You're totally at the end, you need to go, Jay. Kate, after that. And in those ones, I was able to look and say, okay, so that's really... what the whole document does is to go into details on each one of these tasks, and we might have to sometimes even replace some of those tasks by an easier or more simple tasks that we need, because there's no need for such an iterative task needed. But I thought prepare for risk assessment, conduct risk assessment, and then maintain risk assessment, I thought was a quite well put together summary of what this thing did.
Yeah, that's one of the things that appeals to me about this, is that it's clear that people have walked this path before and have really refined, you know, what to do when and in what sequence. Because up until now, we have been sort of inventing this on our own. And one of the nice things about methodologies is that when you have the full list, then you can decide which things not to do or which things to combine. Whereas when we invent these things, that's a lot harder because we don't know whether we've got everything in the pile. And so I liked this chart too. I do remember it now that you mention it, Olivia. Actually, I like this whole document a lot. Now, one of the things that if this was a corporation and I was still working, at this stage in the project, I would be saying, maybe we ought to hire a consultant who knows how this stuff all works to help us. Given the capabilities of the people in this group, I'm fairly confident that we can at least muddle through a first try at this, and then if we get stuck, we'll know that we got stuck and why, and we can ask for help at this point. But I think that if the five of us took on, you know, sort of the job of really getting to know this methodology pretty well, and I will take especially that job because I've done a lot of methods-based work before, I think we can do this on our own, and I think in doing that, we will have done, and this circles all the way back to the actual question that we were talking about, which is, I think having done this work and made all these choices and made all these worksheets, that just that in and of itself, forget about the contents, forget about the answers from the working group. I think just understanding this methodology and putting the pieces together in an easy-to-use way is a big deliverable for the ICANN community. I think it'll be a huge help for all kinds of people. For example, I could see going back to the registrars and saying, well, this is what we thought about your world, and here's how we got there, but you might want to do a project like this on your own and go one level deeper or even two levels deeper. And here's at least a first try, and here's a first set of worksheets that you can use to do that. And I think that would be a big, useful thing. Olivia, is that an old hand or a new one?
It's a new one, Mikey.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey, Olivier, for the transcript. You mentioned earlier that we'd run off doing our own thing and are now looking at this methodology. I think that what we've actually done is all the groundwork in you know, the first pass, if you want, on trying to separate the material that we really need to work on from the material that is out of scope. We can now really feed into this methodology that we have here, feed what we've got into that, and I think that really this I see more as a pipeline rather than the actual first pass.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's a much better description. And I think it's one that we can, you know, as I say, I think we can do this fairly fast. I think we can get quite a lot of this kind of work done before Costa Rica, which I think would be good. And we can go back to Costa Rica and say, well, you know, here's the work that we've done. You know, a lot of this prepare, I think, is actually done. We've got a purpose, we've got scope, we've got a fair number of assumptions and constraints, et cetera, et cetera. I think we can get pretty deep into this kind of stuff by Costa Rica. And come back with a pretty substantial piece of work done for the community to take a look at, give us some feedback on. And we'll have a whole boatload of worksheets done by then. So, okay, I'm. Mark, are you okay? You're sort of the one who's saying, "Look, this is overkill. This is too hard, too wide, too crazy." Are you okay giving this one a try, or are you still a little on edge about this?
I'm okay with it. I guess I'm always willing to learn.
Okay. I think you need to be a special skeptic, and because you know I do have a tendency to dive in too deep sometimes, and I think you need to keep an eye on me and us, and periodically say, "Whoa, hold on, we're getting in the weeds here."
Okay.
I think that's a really useful perspective, especially for people who are unfamiliar with a complex methodology like this one. And so I want to make sure that we don't leave you feeling like you're, you know, sort of shut down or left out, because I think, in fact, the opposite is true.
Thank you. No problem.
Cool. All right. Well, the only other thing, we've just got a couple more minutes, that I wanted to just check with you is that given this, I'm inclined to go back to the group and say, look, that ranking spreadsheet that I built, even the second try with the three columns of impact, et cetera, was a false start. We are combining too many things into one very simplistic sheet, and that's, you know, rather than waste people's time on it, I think I'd just like to put it aside and say it was a good exercise to develop it, because we had really good conversations about likelihood versus impact versus controls. Cheryl raised a really interesting point on the call on Thursday, which said, she said, look, you know, I would like another column. In that latest one, there's the likelihood that organizations actually are good at the mitigation in the controls. And essentially what we were doing is by adding columns to that one spreadsheet, we were basically putting together this whole list of tasks. And so even on the call last Thursday, you could hear people say, oh, I like this better. This makes more sense to me. Sort of the way Jorg reacted to this earlier in the call. And so I'd just like to check with you and make sure that it's okay if I get on the call on Thursday and say, look, that was a swing and a miss. We're going to put that on hold and work on, you know, this more bit-by-bit approach instead. Is that okay with folks? I'm detecting silence, meaning yes on that.
That's totally cool with me.
Yeah.
Mikey?
Okay.
This is yours.
Go ahead, York. We got a lot of echo. People probably ought to either mute their speakers or mute their phone. Go ahead,
York. All right. I don't think that the message has to be that harsh, because I feel that a lot of the material that we already produce can be useful and can be reused and used in a certain way within this approach we are up to follow right now. So I wouldn't want to tell everybody, well, it was just something you can just easily throw in the basket into the bin and say it hasn't been worth doing it. But to communicate that it was useful doing so, that we came closer to a substantial results, but this just might not be the best way to do it, and that we now pick something that is more methodologist and that we are reusing what we already done. And I think that was what exactly in the same which Olivier already said, at least if I haven't gotten him wrong. So I do not want to say everything is great we've done so far, but I wouldn't want to say that it's just crap either.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think that it was hugely useful. I didn't mean to imply that it was terrible. Olivier's got words for me. Maybe we call it a practice run. I like that. And I will be careful how I describe that. It's good to... Because I really don't believe that this is wasted effort. I think it's all pretty focused in that we learned a lot from it. So I will be careful to in the way I choose my words when I do that. Olivia, you're typing, but you can just speak because I think we're done. Yeah. Laying groundwork for the next phase of the project. Right on.
Right on.
Okay, that's it for me. Anything that's on people's minds besides this that we need to talk about real quickly before we drop off? All right. I think that's it. Have a great rest of the day, and I'll see you all on Thursday.
See you Thursday.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks very much, Mikey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.